Clemson remains the only Power 4 team to not sign a single transfer yet in 2024. The Nuggets and the Knicks both win last night at home, and the Chiefs kicker Harrison Butker stands up for good old-fashioned family and tradition. Check out more on Crane & Company. What's up, everybody out there listening? Appreciate you guys. Remember, starting next Monday, so this coming up Monday, we'll be moving the showtime to 2 p.m. Central. Really excited about that. Hope to get a lot more of y'all involved now that we can get some West Coast flavor in here. It's not 4 in the morning, but while you're listening, leave us a 5-star review. Share the show. We really appreciate it. Now, you can call Dabo Swinney whatever you want, but after standing firm and not taking a transfer portal player through the 2024 cycle, he's definitely got a set of payload ties on him. He stands by what he says. Now, this decision is either going to prove him a genius by making loyalty cool again and also proving the point you can still develop a team over time, or it will ultimately be his downfall because he didn't adjust to the evolving times. Now, regardless of which camp that you're in that question, you do have to ask yourself, is the combined group of every other head coach, including the greatest college football coach of all time and Nick Saban, wrong? Could Dabo end up big shorting all of college football and being the only one that was right? While I do think Dabo's had an incredible career, I just don't buy that it's going to work. I mean, maybe once every 3 to 4 years, you can compete at a very high level by not using the transfer portal. But that's not the new Clemson standard. They don't view themselves as the old girl or the side piece. That fan base has sipped from the cuppeth of champions. And when you do that, there's no going back. If history tells us anything concrete in this game, it's that in reality, the game is always changing or evolving. The trick to get to the top is to understand that it's a moving target, even after you reach it, even after you touch it. And that's why the old adage, what's even harder than reaching the top is staying there, rings true, especially in this instance. You can go all the way back to the invention of the Ford Pass, I guess is the best way to say it. Racial integration, TV, the rules, schemes, everything is always changing. And that's why Nick Saban was able to build a dynasty. That's how you win over time. He was malleable even when he was at the top. Remember the hurry up, no huddle? All he did was complain about it for 2 years, then decided it wasn't going to change, so he just became the best at it. Because he knows you're either evolving or you're dissolving. And while Clemson may be competitive this year, and Dabo's a great guy, over the long term, this is a losing hand. And it's about time that we face facts. And if I'm a Clemson fan, get ready to hit the iceberg. David Cone, former Michigan quarterback, my brother, former Western State Colorado wide receiver, Blaine Crane. I like the sentiment. We're going to do it old school. We're not going to use the transfer portal.
Yes, cinnamon, honk, binnamon.
But it's not going to work. Like, again, if you're cool with every 3 to 4 years hoping you can keep a class together, like, it's just not going to work. I don't think it's feasible. I think Dabo's making a huge mistake, but he's dying on the hill he said he died
on. Yes, he is. He's going to run down that hill, too.
Yes.
Okay?
Goofy-ass run.
I love Dabo Swinney. Coach, I love you. I would love to play for this guy. I'd love my son to play for this guy. Problem is, I'd love the coach of his rival team as well. Shane Beamer.
Yeah, well.
Is his refusal to use the transfer portal going to be his downfall? Maybe. Is it going to make me root for him even harder? Yes, it is, okay? He's borderline going to make me become a Clemson fan, to be honest. And did you see what he came out and said about the potential of eliminating walk-ons? So he was asked about, hey, with the roster limitations and potentially eliminating walk-on players, which he was a walk-on wide receiver at Alabama, he said, I literally just heard that for the first time the other day, and I can say it's probably the worst thing I've heard since 1988. Of everything that's happened in my entire career, that's the worst thing I've ever heard. I love this guy.
Well, what did he hear in 1988?
Yeah, you don't want to know.
Yeah, so.
Said, hey, you want to know about this island?
That was the year after I was.
Said, you want to go hang out at this island?
Yeah.
And again, I don't want people to get confused. I'm not saying that you need to build the whole team out of the transfer portal, but you do need to use it to supplement your roster to plug holes in the ship. You don't build your whole ship out of it. I just think going all the way to one end of the spectrum where you're like, you know what? we're going to Colorado this thing. We're just going to turn our team into the transfer portal. I don't think that's going to work. But then on the other end of the spectrum, we're not going to use it at all. I don't think that's going to work. It reminds me, and yes, David, it is cool. Just like, you know what? I like going back and watching a black and white movie every now and then. But you know what it's not as cool as? Doom 2 or The Dark Knight. Like, I'm not...
That's your personal opinion.
Again, listen.
It's great. I'm glad you
watched Paper
Moon. Listen, Citizen Kane, legendary movie, right? Movie that changed the time. I would much rather watch The Matrix than go back and watch that.
The Chosen One. I will say this.
But you want a museum, though.
I want a Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame, David. Say this. When it comes to the transfer portal, I think it's either used to plug holes in the ship or add icing on top of the cake. I don't feel like you have to go there if you don't need to. It's something where it's open for your choice. But I will say this, where's the last time Clemson's had a good skill position come out the last
season? That's what, if you look at the bouncing balls,
it's cool. No, like, and I get it. Like, from like, you want guys who've wanted it to be Clemson for a while. And you need guys like that on your team. But I do think to keep up to the Clemson standard, I mean, the last guy you had come out was 2021 with Justin Ross, who had 500 yards. So something's got to change. It's cool.
Did he transfer there?
It's cool. Justin Ross?
No.
So all the guys that we've talked about before, their skill position guys that they've had who have been elite and who are playing in the NFL, they recruited those guys. Those guys didn't come in via the transfer.
They're not going to come now.
Why not?
Because those are an elite athletes, an elite five-star athlete. You're going to have to pay them. Whether it's out of the transfer portal.
I didn't know we were.
You're going to have to fix something because the guys, you're not getting T. Higgins anymore. Where's T. Higgins? He's not running around Clemson. I mean, the guys you're picking right now are mediocre athletes.
Well, I'm not saying that all of a sudden Clemson just going to be 5-7 every year. But if you are in today's game, right, you by not using the transfer portal at all, and again, I'm not saying build the whole team out of it. I'm saying a couple guys here and there, we've seen it. We see the top teams do it, right? The teams that have been able to stay at the top lately. You got Georgia and Alabama. You go through it. All these guys. So Kirby Smart is wrong. Nick Saban is wrong. Steve Sarkisian is wrong. Ryan Day is wrong. And I agree with Josh Pate when he talks about Michigan being the last team that has truly developed from high school all the way through, that stayed together, that did it the old school way. Again, not that you can't do it for 75% of the team. Not saying that Clemson won't get good players. They're going to pay guys NIL. I'm not talking about NIL. But through the transfer portal, it is a way to bring in guys who have that unteachable intangible already that don't have to go through that development process typically. Right? Maybe you're down a little bit at wide receiver or DB. Maybe you need a couple tight ends. Going out and getting those guys, it gives you the opportunity to supplement your roster year over year instead of having to go back to square one and deal with it. Because again, remember, Clemson is losing players to the transfer portal. That's another angle of this.
A bigger point.
You have more going out than you do coming in.
They lost 12 this past.
I just feel like if you're going to go back and say, we're going to grow our own food, you better hope the weather's good. Yeah. Like a lot has to go right for you to be able to recreate this year after year after year after year. I just think he's pushing all his chips to the middle of the table, and he's got a 4-2. And he's like, all right, we're going to ride this thing. I hope I hit something good on the river. That's what it looks like to me. But speaking of the river, if you're a gambling man, whether that be at the poker table, right, playing a little Texas Hold'em, maybe that be NHL playoffs, sports gambling in general. I had a nice little parlay last night. Pretty excited about that. But if you're going to bet, use betonline.ag. Whether you like us, whether you hate us, because we know you like yourself, betonline.ag is unbelievably easy to navigate. They make sports betting more accessible and more convenient. And with just a few clicks, you can place bets on your favorite teams and events from the comfort of your own home. Yes, I said events. It's not just sports. They've got, if it's out there and has a spread on it, betonline.ag, I promise you, they have it. And they pride themselves on their higher than average betting limits of up to $25,000. You can increase your wagering amounts by contacting player services desk by phone or email. And they sponsor the Cranning Company Jumbotron of truth, love, life, loss, and lessons. So go to betonline.ag to place your bets today. Use promo code Booster, BOOSTER, for a 50% instant deposit bonus of up to $1,000. That's betonline.ag. Use promo code Booster. Bet online, where the options are endless, and so is the fun. Phone lines open, 7:15 a.m. Central. I don't know why I enjoy saying that so much at the end while throwing the paper. If you notice, I just do those things. But let's get to the Booster Club. Let's hear them yell at me about Clemson.
All right, Booster Club, hit that like, hit that subscribe button. If you don't, it's on topic. It will get red. We're going to start off with a Big Ten guy.
Oh, good.
Said, would Clemson benefit by moving to the SEC or Big Ten over ACC? Like you guys have said in the past, the ACC is dying.
Yeah, well, if you saw the North Carolina trustee, it's like old man yells at cloud. Rich guy says wants to get richer at North Carolina. I think the ACC is on their way out. I don't think that's a crazy thing to say. To me, overall, when I look at the Big Ten and the SEC, they're both really, really tough. Again, I think we are somewhat splitting hairs here now that the Big Ten has added, you know, Oregon and Washington. They've added more depth to the conference. I think Clemson being in the SEC footprint, I think that would do them better. But again, if you're not going to use the transfer portal, if you're going to cut off one resource, you know, pumping into your program, it's going to put you behind the eight ball either way, whether it's the Big Ten or it's the SEC. I'm just wondering, because I like to look ahead. This feels like one of those situations where if it does go downhill for Dabo, and Dabo and Clemson do part ways because this doesn't work, it almost feels like the sheltered child who goes nuts in college syndrome. Oh, we didn't use the transfer portal for 3 years. New coach comes in, totally opposite approach, right? The last one didn't work. Oh, we sheltered the kid. Now they go to college. Why did it turn into a Project X party at the freshman dorm with my son leading the charge, which is probably what's going to happen. So I think there's a lot of ramifications down the road. But as far as Big Ten and SEC, I mean, it's going to be tough sledding either way, in my opinion.
All right, let's go to Hopeful Husker, hashtag Ask the Buzz. When I look at their schedule, it doesn't look like the hardest. What is the ceiling for the Fighting Dabos this year? The hardest games are fairly early in their schedule. Got their schedule pulled up right meow. All right, week one. Damn. Got Georgia.
Not a good start. Not a good start.
Week two, fight the Cone's menaces. Cone's biggest enemy in App State.
Not a walk in the park, especially after you play Georgia.
Look, then you got NC State at home.
Okay.
All right. Then you have Stanford at home. Terrible.
By the way, remember, NC State has Grayson McCall, I believe, this year. Coastal Carolina quarterback. Go ahead.
All right. Then you go to the Fighting Mike Norvells. DJU.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. This schedule kind of sucks so far. At Florida State? So you've got Georgia and Florida and at Florida State in the first four games?
Five. Huh. Then you go to Wake. All right. Then you got Virginia at home.
Okay.
Then Louisville at home. At Virginia Tech.
Okay.
At Pittsburgh. I can't wait to get your Pittsburgh take this year.
It's amazing. They were gonna throw me off a building.
Yeah.
Until they saw their team played and then realized all
the time. Then you have the Citadel at home and then the blind fight the blind in South Carolina.
So no Notre Dame this year.
No Notre Dame.
Okay.
And again, I'm not saying Clemson is going to go 4-8. Like they could go 9-3 this year. I'm looking at the long term. This is the long term play. All right. That's what I'm looking at. I don't think it's sustainable. The difference in this and the Big Short. Christian Bale was right. The housing market, Christian Bale was actually right. Everybody else was wrong. In this instance, I don't think everybody else is wrong, right? I think Dabo is wrong for being on one total end of the spectrum. I want to be a little bit in the middle. What does Blaine say? You want to keep it what?
Yeah, keep it. Yeah.
No Miami on that schedule either. Mm-mm. That's interesting.
But it is top heavy. Again, we'll see how South Carolina is at the end. Long term. My investor, I don't even look right now. I give my financial investment guy, hey, go get it. I'm going to look at it in 6 months, and then we're going to judge you then. I'm not looking at every day going up and down. Like, oh, what did the NASDAQ do? What did this do? This, that, and the other. No, I'm looking at long term. So I'm a Clemson fan. I'm worried about the long term diagnosis of Dabo being so damn stubborn.
AMC, I'm not leaving. All right, let's go to John Ray. He says, if Dabo's in trouble this year, then who would be best fitted to replace him? Is this Dion's big brand opportunity?
No. You want to talk about going. You want to talk about polar opposite. You want to talk about polar opposite. Again, this year, I don't think it's going to be a disaster for Clemson. I think this year could be better than last year. I don't think that's a crazy thing to put out into the realm. But over the next 3 to 4 years, I don't see this working at the level that, because again, Clemson views himself as here now. And they should. It's been a great run for Clemson. They have elevated themselves. They went from the duplex to the suburbs to an estate with a pool and a gate. They don't want to go back, right? What did Dave Chappelle say on one of his skits? It's like, tell them Leonard Washington made it out. I don't know what they do. I heard they sell rocks. And then he drives off. Clemson does not want to go back to that lifestyle. I feel like this is going to bring them back to mid. And then every now and then, you're not going to be able to keep it at that standard.
This is the guy who set the standard. You know, it's different than at Alabama.
That's what makes it tougher.
Nick Saban blew it out of the water
for
Alabama,
but it was
still Alabama. You still had Bear Bryant. I mean, what do you mean?
Like when you set the standard, like if you're not willing, you're the guy that did it. So you have a ton of equity built up. But we've seen this before. This is what made like Gus Malzahn and Auburn so hard, because Gus Malzahn got Auburn back to where it felt like they should have been after it fell apart.
I don't know if he did. Gene Chizik won the national championship.
In 2010, Cam Newton won the national championship. And you got to give Gene credit. But Auburn went 3-9 2 years later. So it totally fell off the cliff. Clemson hasn't
I'm talking about my entire life growing up. Clemson to me was nothing at football. Nothing at football.
Every now and then they'd have.
Then they go toe to toe with Alabama and national championships.
Agreed.
And they win two of them.
Agreed.
Dabo did that.
Agreed.
And that doesn't mean that he's not being stubborn and that his new tactics are going to have a downfall. I can get behind that. I'm just saying, be careful before you get rid of the guy who set the standard at the same time when you're already in one of the conferences who's kind of sliding off
on the
wayside.
I totally agree with that.
Go back to irrelevancy real quick.
I totally agree with that. But what if you get caught in the position of, hey, the guy who got us here, it is slipping and he's not willing to change.
Well, if it's slipping, that's why you need a great AD to make that decision. To me, slipping is not 13 straight seasons of double-digit wins, and the only one that wasn't was a 9-win season.
Again, when was that 9-win season?
This past year.
So if it goes 8-9 wins again, that's the one downside of elevating yourself to that standard. Now you're beholden to that, right? Now that is the norm. That's what the fans want. That's what all this money that's been pumped in here to build this new facility and put that big ass slide in the building, that's what people are used to. So the minute that it starts going down and you look at the main reason of, oh, you're not changing with the game, I use the Nick Saban example again. If you want to keep a dynasty going, you have to be able to evolve when you're at the top. The game has changed so much from when Dabo was doing that. I think we can look at college football and say, man, this is turning into a totally different product, at least the inner workings of it, to when Dabo got it there. So if you're not willing to change and then it's 9-win season, 8-win season, 8-win season, that makes it so much harder at the end because he was the one that elevated.
I'll give you another example. Jim Harbaugh went 2-4 during the COVID year at Michigan. They had every right to move off from Jim Harbaugh and just say, hey, you're an All-American quarterback here for Bo Schembechler. It's just not working. You're not beating your rival. You're not doing good enough. Then he went 43-3
And let's not forget, what did they do? They went in there and said, we need some of that money back. And they did the same thing that Nebraska did with Scott Frost. And then Jim Harbaugh did. Jim Harbaugh came out of it. But the question becomes, the way that Jim Harbaugh did it, right? Do you think that's still feasible, being able to develop? Because again, I think the guys like Blake Corum and those guys up front, I think Michigan had just a different type of dude. And Michigan had been there, almost got there. So they had that chip on their shoulder coming back each year, and then they finally broke through. I'm going to be interested to see if that can be recreated again. But I mean, even Michigan used the transfer portal.
They got transfers.
Yeah. So it's an interesting conversation. And if you're a Clemson fan, I'd like to know what you think about it, because it is pretty interesting.
It's good to see you, Travis, 75. He said Dabo has never said he will not use the transfer portal. He said it has to be the right person for the right reason. Loyalty means something.
I agree.
Since the portal is so wonderful, tell me the perfect pick that Clemson turned down that it would have fixed their problems. It's not a grocery store when you get to pick what you want. Both parties have to agree.
Yeah, we say on the show all the time, you can only get what the market bears. Nobody's arguing that. And just like recruiting cycles, just like draft cycles, sometimes there are position groups that have better players in the portal than others. That's not the argument. But I'm looking at Clemson right now. They sure could have used a wide receiver. They sure could have used a skill position guy to help Cade, especially losing Will Shipley and some of these other guys. I'm just saying this, and nobody's saying that loyalty is a bad thing. Not at all.
Yeah.
I love it. And I'm not saying Dabo's came out and said the transfer portal's the devil, like he's Bobby Boucher's mother. But I am judging you by your actions. I am judging you on what you do. And Dabo has said he does not really like the transfer portal. He's not the biggest fan in the world of the way that college football is changing. And I agree with him to some extent. But at some point, your ass is winning 8 games. You're all this argument you're giving me right now, it's not going to matter. It's going to turn into, all right, what do we got to do to get back to being able to compete with Alabama and Georgia? Georgia beats you by 45 to open the season. I'm not going to be hearing a bunch of, oh, loyalty. Oh, we should have gone in here and done it this way and done it that way. It's easy to say it now. And again, I hope I'm wrong. I hope Dabo's right and it turns college football back into the loyalty test. But I don't think that's where we're going. I really don't believe
Everybody
it.
Has a plan until they play Georgia. That's, all right, $2 donation from
Oregon.
Steve's Trading Card Frenzy. If you don't adapt, you attract. Clemson equals trouble.
I hate to say it, but it's like we say, it's just, if you want to make everybody happy, it's sell ice cream for a living. But speaking about selling ice cream for a living, David, some pretty interesting stuff went on for the home teams last night in the playoffs.
Nuggets, 3 straight wins, man. 112-97 over the Timberwolves at home. And our boy Jokic had 40 and 13 assists and 7 boards.
And no turnovers.
And that's the biggest part.
You see what Jamal Murray said?
No.
He's like, when Jokic is going like that, you don't need me to score. Like, he scored like 16 points. He was like,
I don't think he's had fewer than 3 turnovers in the whole series, I think.
I mean, Blaine, go ahead. Here he is. This is like, the MVP. Ant said it. This is why he's the best player in basketball.
This is why, because of that, and they're the best team in basketball. But it makes me think, name another guy who's been so good at a sport that it seems like he doesn't like.
It's wild.
Like literally, it seems like he does not like basketball whatsoever. And you saw Michael Porter Jr. come out and said he didn't touch a basketball in the offseason and got better. I've never seen a superstar athlete not like the sport he plays.
It's a good point.
Serious, like, I mean, what? Name another guy like Jokic who was so good, and the way he's good, it just pisses you off to
that's
watch.
That's true, too, because usually if you have guys like that who don't practice and stay out all night, they're just really fast. They're faster than everybody, or maybe they're just bigger than everybody. Huge. He's a technical assassin.
He can do everything. It's like, what do you do? It's like, you know, you have the Power Rangers, you have like the Red Ranger and the Black Ranger and the Yellow Ranger, and they all fight individually, but when they come together, they form that Mega Ranger when they got to. Jokic is the Mega Ranger. When they need it, when they need somebody to pull that flame and sword out, like Optimus Prime, that's who it is. I feel like Manny Ramirez got bored sometimes. In baseball, like he would do stuff in the outfield. It's like he just didn't really care. Well, he's like, I'm going to try and catch him behind my back.
Baseball's a lot more standing around, which is understandable. You are running around every second of basketball. I can understand getting bored in baseball, and it's hard to get bored in basketball.
I've never seen it. I can't think of one athlete.
If you're bored and suck, I get it.
Well, and you're the best.
I get it.
And you're the best.
But you're dropping 40 in a playoff game, and you're not having fun.
Yeah. Is Minnesota cooked?
No.
Y'all done?
I don't think so.
They done?
I don't think so. It's just, I didn't even have to. You can just look at the stat line. Anthony Edwards had 18 points. He lost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all you have to. Well, they lost when he dropped 40.
Well, that's, again, if I'm Minnesota, that's the problem, is that when they said, all right, Anthony Edwards, talking about the Nuggets defensively, said, all right, Anthony Edwards, go get yours. Mm-hmm. We'll let you have yours. Nobody else is getting theirs. They beat you. Then they said, no, let's double Anthony Edwards. Let's trap him when he comes past half court. And then they still beat you. So if I'm like Minnesota, it's just like, dude, the first 2 games, it almost feels like the Nuggets wanted to feel something again. They're like, hey, man, let's let Minnesota feel good about themselves. Maybe we'll let them.
Yeah,
it's like they're taking bets. They're like, how much you want to bet if we let them beat us?
It's
twice
really
at
evil
home?
If you think about it.
It's almost like playing with their
food. It's like, hey, let's give them hope.
I feel like coming off that series with the Lakers, they just weren't prepared for the physicality the Timberwolves were going to bring those first 2 games. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they won by 26. The Timberwolves did when Rudy Gobert missed the game. That's when I really started to wake up like, man,
they were getting bullied, David. Minnesota was bullying them.
And I think Denver just responded to that in a way that world champions do. Mm-hmm. On the other end of it, you and I took the Pacers last night. I still think it was a good bet at plus money. Knicks 121-91 win in the Garden. Jalen Brunson 44. 44.
A couple things. One.
Like 6-1.
I'm really starting to believe, and maybe NBA fans out there, you know, all 14 of them, I think the Knicks may have the best home court advantage out of any team in the playoffs. Like, that place is
them or Boston.
And Jalen Brunson, I don't know why this made me think of this, but he's like the little engine that could, but not the children's story. Like the way Major Payne told it, which if you've ever seen the movie Major Payne with Damon Wayans, when he's talking to the kid, and he's like, he's in like the army, so he's been through like war and stuff. He's like, ever tell you the story about the little engine that could? And the kid's like, no. And he's like, well, sit down. He's like, well, he starts telling the story. He's like, so there's this little engine, and it had to deliver some AK-47s and a nuclear payload across enemy lines. He's like, you think that was going to stop the little engine that could? He's like, achoo, achoo. He's like, and then all of a sudden you can see it hit him. He's like, but then they got across enemy lines and didn't realize the bridge had been packed with explosives. He said, about that time, it was like, bang! Said the bridge blew up. He said Ron came out with his eyes popped out. He's like, blood spitting ass going everywhere. He just gets into the story about how, like, dog, the little engine that could
is.
And that reminds me of Jalen Brunson. Just gotta get it. Have to find a way. My legs don't work. And I said, look, you want to know why that work? Because they ain't even there. Like, Jalen Brunson is so much fun to watch. Maybe it's because he reminds me of a college basketball player. Maybe that's why. He's like that old point guard for the team that's making the run in the NCAA tournament. He's battling through injuries. He's hitting crazy shots. He's dishing the ball out. I've got so much respect for Jalen Brunson, man. And you're like 6'2". Out there doing it.
Well, it's the thing about the Knicks is
they're not getting past the Celtics. They'll beat the Pacers probably in Game 7 at home.
I think you.
They're
can
not
have
getting past the Celtics
with the Celtics without Porzingis. The Knicks winning.
I don't think so.
Is Porzingis out the rest of the playoffs?
No, I think he's going to be back. I think he'll be back for the Knicks series.
But like legit, I mean, I know they're not saying that, but
I mean, it's a calf strain. That's what I've been told it is. But a calf strain in the NBA is like getting shot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not sure.
Well, and I don't want to put the cart too far ahead in front of the horse, but nobody would be shocked if the Pacers go win Game 6 in Indiana.
No, this right? is going 7. This is going to go 7.
And that Game 7 at the Garden?
I'd hate to be there.
It's only going to cost, you could be there for the low price of $2,400.
Yeah. interesting development in the Stanley Cup playoffs yesterday. Bruins win 2-1 against the Panthers on the road. Oh. So that series is now 3-2 Florida, but it goes back to Boston.
Yeah, that one could be going 7. We could have two. We could end up having like Game 7 in the Canes series, Game 7 in the Bruins series, Game 7 in the Knicks series. I don't see any of these others going 7. I think the Nuggets and the Celtics in this thing here soon.
Isn't it crazy? All these games are going 7 series, and I just can't wait for college football.
I know. That's how much I love college football. Yeah. Like, man, Game 7 is going to be dope, but hey, dog, you hear Dabo said F the portal?
all right, 3 more things here. Did you guys hear any of the commencement speech that Harrison Bucker gave to Benedictine College? And did you see any of the backlash and the hate that this guy's getting?
I saw clips and pieces of it, and then I saw Will Compton put some out, and everybody was just like trying to paint Harrison Butker as like the Antichrist, which is absolutely ridiculous. I've conversed with Harrison before. Stand-up dude, incredible guy. And all he was doing was really just old-fashioned family values, man.
Like, how have we gotten to a point, though, in society where, I mean, this used to be the standard. I'm somebody who wants this to be the standard again. At a Catholic commencement speech, the guy's talking about traditional Latin math and Catholicism. Shouldn't that be the standard? I'm not even Catholic.
Well, it's funny. You know, we live in a world now where you get hammered for your beliefs, pretty much whatever you believe. But you would think that some of the common sense stuff, there would be more common ground on. But that's one of the reasons why we get nothing done, why we can't push forward in anything, why we can't agree on anything. Because even simple common sense stuff, like the men and women sports stuff, there's people out there that'll push back against that. And if you're willing to push back against that, you're willing to push back against 2 + 2 = 4.
Sure.
You're willing to push back on the sky is up and the ground is down.
Sure.
We have no common ground. We have nowhere to start. Mm-hmm. So when we have nowhere to start, there's no way that we
That's
can
finish. That's true. And no foundation anymore.
No foundation.
We're so far removed from our foundation. The part I definitely want to comment on is when he was telling the story about his wife and how they met, I believe it was in middle school.
Yeah.
And this guy's so moved by talking about his wife being the mother to their children and being a homemaker that he starts crying in the middle of the speech about her. And the response to that is that he's misogynistic. You know, and I just, as someone who, like, my mother in our household growing up was the primary breadwinner in our family, had an awesome career still going. She basically runs a university. That would have always took a backseat to raising us. I mean, she was packing our lunches, making dinner every night. I mean, she was a mom first and foremost. And now I'm seeing that same thing with my wife. She has a successful career, a professional career. That pales in comparison to her role as a mother, and she would be the first person to tell you that. So when now I have two daughters, and people are asking me online, oh, is this something that you're going to want to tell your daughters? Yeah, I can't wait to show them this speech.
Yeah, it's one of those things where in a world, different people want different things, right? And there's nothing wrong with that, in my opinion. But I am of the belief, and this is my belief, is that we are put in this world to procreate and try and live the best life that we possibly can live. And everybody has their roles. That doesn't mean that the woman shouldn't work. That doesn't mean that the woman has to work. That doesn't mean that the man has to make more money than the woman.
Yeah.
I'm down for whatever makes you happy. You know what my main thing is? Whatever keeps the nuclear family together. If that's the father being the breadwinner and the mother staying home because that's what she wants to do, vice versa, whatever. Whatever keeps the nuclear family intact, I think that's the biggest problem we have. He talked about fatherlessness in this speech, which I think to me was the pinnacle of it. I think from the top down, that could fix a lot of the problems that we have. Where I push back against the people that are like, oh, this is misogynistic, is, you know, it's amazing. If China invaded us tomorrow, who would be the people that went and signed up for the military? Whenever this has happened in human history, all the way back to hunter and gatherers, it was the men that would have to go fight the wars. If we went to war against somebody right now, all these people that say, oh, men and women are exactly the same, y'all would be the first one to be like, all right, David, here, go fly this plane over enemy territory. Here, Blaine, go run behind this tank and infantry while they, it's amazing. Whenever the shit really goes down, then it's, oh no, the men, send the men to go do it. But whenever you live in these soft times where you can say stupid ass stuff like this and get away with it, it's everybody's the same. And it goes back to the quote you had earlier that you're talking about Clemson with Mike Tyson. Everybody has a plan and all this stuff is good until you get punched right in the face.
That sentiment that you're talking about, I believe I saw a poster one time that came out like after the Titanic sunk. This is like a poster 100 years ago that said, votes for me turned into boats for me real quick.
It's amazing. But I never hear him complain, hey, we hit an iceberg, women and children on the lifeboats first. You don't hear anything. I guarantee you some, you know, one of these people that believes this other wouldn't be like, no. All the men get in the boat first. I'll sit my butch ass on here and play the violin while the Titanic goes down.
Can we play like 30 seconds of this? Do we have a clip? I believe Skylar pulled some for us here.
Harrison's got that.
While COVID might have played a large role throughout your formative years, it is not unique. Bad policies and poor leadership have negatively impacted major life issues. Things like abortion, IVF, surrogacy, euthanasia, as well as a growing support for degenerate cultural values and media all stem from the pervasiveness of disorder. Our own nation is led by a man who publicly and proudly proclaims his Catholic faith, but at the same time is delusional enough to make the sign of the cross during a pro-abortion rally. The world around us says that we should keep our beliefs to ourselves whenever they go against the tyranny of diversity, equity, and inclusion. I am certain the reporters at the AP could not have imagined that their attempt to rebuke and embarrass places and people like those here at Benedictine wouldn't be met with anger, but instead met with excitement and pride. Not the deadly sin sort of pride that has an entire month dedicated to it, but the true God-centered pride that is cooperating with the Holy Ghost to glorify Him. I can tell you that my beautiful wife, Isabel, would be the first to say that her life truly started when she began living her vocation as a wife and as a mother. I'm on this stage today and able to be the man I am because I have a wife who leans into her vocation. I'm beyond blessed with the many talents God has given me, but it cannot be overstated that all of my success is made possible because a girl I met in band class back in middle school would convert to the faith, become my wife, and embrace one of the most important titles of all, homemaker.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Look, it's again, agree with him or not, you can tell it's genuine. You know, 90% of the stuff he said, I agree with wholeheartedly. But the fact that you get vilified so much by saying the common sense stuff that he said just kind of shows you where
we're at. Yeah, and the standard shouldn't be to agree with someone 100%.
Exactly.
What two people out of the 8 or 9 billion people on the planet agree 100%?
Well, we say it on this show, David. But we don't want you to agree.
Exactly, but the overarching sentiment of the leaders in our country have led us on a bad path, I think, is the most important part of that.
I agree 100%. All right, the phone line's opening here in about 6 minutes. We're talking about being responsible men. Let me tell you what responsible men do. All right, they take the Emerson multivitamin. Why? Because it's been just over a week since the Responsible Men's launch, and it's been incredible. You guys have really blown this thing up. We really appreciate y'all. Thousands of you have voted yes and signed up for our new Emerson Daily Multivitamin from Responsible Man, which is the newest Daily Wire venture company. And it's designed with you in mind and from a company that supports your values. It's made up of 33 key premium ingredients that help fill nutrient gaps to support your immune system, maintain energy production, sharpen brain cognition, and support the health and of your heart and muscles. It comes in a black tin with dark green pills. They're easy to take, and they have a mint flavor, all right, to make it a little bit easier to get those bad boys down. So the Responsible Man launch sale is ending this week, so you better hop in, be responsible, whether you're a man or not, and save 30% at responsibleman.com. You have people relying on you in this world, and some people want to see you fall. And with so much chaos and uncertainty, it's crucial to take charge of your life and responsibility. So take charge by visiting responsibleman.com and save 30% off. That's responsibleman.com. Save 30% off. We're being responsible. We've heard you. We've listened. Our new showtime is next Monday at 2 p.m. Central. So going forward, starting next Monday, whatever date that is, we won't have the live show in the morning. It'll be at 2 p.m. Central in the afternoon. We're super duper excited. We're going to keep it that way from here on out. Again, we heard y'all, we listened, we made the move. Excited to get a lot of new blood in here for the live show as well. Bonnie?
Yep, I'm seeing if I have to sneeze or not right now.
Good, staring that light.
All right,
staring that
good.
Light.
All right, I think I'm good. $2 donation from Jalen Brunson's burner. So David and Jake both jinxed the Pacers. Knicks in seven.
No, well, see, I love the Knicks in seven. To be honest with you, the one I'm worried about the most right now is I put a future out when the playoffs started that the Braves would win the World Series, Arkansas would win the College World Series, the Celtics would win the NBA championship, and that the Canes would win the Stanley Cup.
That's a nice one.
Win like 8,000. It's like $20 to win like 8,000.
Some people are saying you have to have it.
The rumors are true. I have to have it.
My thought process on that game was the Knicks look a little bit banged up, right? They're hurt. They lost two in a row on the road. Coming back to the Garden, can they really just, you know, ride Jalen Brunson to 50-point performances every single game? And you were getting the Pacers at plus money. Made sense from a betting perspective.
Yeah.
Bad bet. All right, let's go to Keats. What's up, Keats? He says, Dabo will slide over to Bama in a few years after Husky Briles gets fired.
To be the head coach?
Hey, you see what the back of the shirt's?
I thought that for years, but I don't know anymore.
Nah.
If it wasn't Dabo, now it'll never be Dabo.
That's a good point.
I think Dabo you're gonna see him, you know, when it's done at Clemson, I think he'll be in some sort of consulting role.
I think he's gonna
come
down and sell you a nice Chevrolet. Here, Clemson.
And if you come down here to Dabo's Grabos,
commercial's gonna start with him running down the hill, baby.
That's exactly. He comes down the hill to sell you the car.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, Dabo, we got one.
Hold on.
Bring in the closer.
Let's go to Robert M. What's up, Robert? Will Clemson be operating with less scholarship players than everyone else this season?
See, that's a good question. I was wondering that, too, because they lost 12 in the portal but didn't add anyone.
But this goes, again, and we've seen it in the past where, and I'm not talking about teams that are on probation, right, that have scholarship docked. You know, you get that 85, you can't go over it. But there's been times where teams have been under it. You don't want to be under it. You want as many bodies as they will possibly.
Well, they'll fill it with walk-ons, right?
But yeah, that they give scholarships. You would always hold, you know, a couple, because we always see those videos like, Danny, come up here. There was a package that was delivered to the facility. I wonder what's in it. And then we all know it's a scholarship that he's going to get. Everybody goes nuts.
So if they lost, they lost 12 players to the portal, didn't sign anyone new, will they give 12 walk-on scholarships?
again, it's, I would think it, for that full allotment, because a scholarship is now just a year contract, why would you not?
Technically,
fill that
it was
up?
When I played too.
Technically, now it's just.
The public didn't know that.
Now it's going to be a year with a rev share.
I didn't even know that until they saw. They're like, you have to sign it again. Like my sophomore year, like, you have to sign your yearly scholarship. I was like, I already did that. I had a signing day.
I
and
got
everything.
4 years. They're like, no.
Nah,
it changed.
I better play good.
Yeah, no, yeah. Good luck. Here, throw it through this tire.
Luckily, I made
tire
it through.
Tire swing, for sure.
Let's go to Thomas. He says, is it me or does it feel like this Knicks team has a different type of edge to them?
They got that college type feel, man. That's what I think has kind of drawn a lot of people to them. And it's funny, you wouldn't think of that for a team from New York. You know, you think of the Yankees, you think of the Dodgers out there in LA, you think of the Lakers.
Why'd you roll your eyes?
Showtime.
Yankees.
Huh?
Why'd you roll your eyes?
Because I wish nothing but evil.
Are we getting purse?
Listen,
right now?
You better put, what's that
why
in your shoulder?
Why are you worried about us?
What's that in your shoulder? It's me getting purse.
Why are you worried about us?
No, but they've just got like a, they've been down for so long, but the way they don't have LeBron or Kevin Durant. They're doing this. They're like a major city.
They don't need that. It's better for them.
It's they just need to keep signing guys from Villanova, apparently.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Jack Hogan. What's up, Jack? Hashtag Ask Crane and Company. Remember when we thought Dabo was the heir apparent to Saban?
Never said. I tried to
tell you. Seems like that's a pipe dream.
Try to tell y'all. Try to tell y'all, because guess what? This methodology would never fly at Bama. Mm. It would never fly at Bama. All right, one more.
All right, let's go to Johnny M. Johnny, what's up, brother? So, been a Clemson fan for a long time now. It just feels like Dabo is slowly falling off. Tell me I'm wrong, but will this year decide it?
I don't. Dabo has built up so much equity. You would think in a perfect world, because again, Clemson isn't going 4-8. They're not going 5-7. That's not, we're not talking about a Gene Chizik situation where you look up and, oh my God, Clemson's 3-9. You got to fire him. Like, because it's gotten that bad. That's not what I'm saying. It's that now that you have reached the precipice, the top, and that is the standard, which is a good thing, which is a great thing. Do you know how many teams out there wish they knew what it's like to sip from that chalice? The 8 wins a year, 9 wins a year, if that becomes the norm again, how long does that go on before you got to do what they used to do back in the day? Hey, we need all the old people to show up on the shore of the river. At 8 p.m., we're going to have the ceremony. All right, you guys get on it. Let's light the torches. Everybody starts singing. You just push the raft out on the river. You just wave. That's what makes the breakups, that's what makes it so tough, right? Because again, to David's point, and it's a valid point, Dabo was the one that got you out of the duplex. Dabo was the one that took you to the suburbs and then took you to the estate with the pool and the gate. So it makes it harder when that magic is lost. I go back to the... and I know Gus Malzahn didn't bring Auburn to, they did win it in 2010 with Cam Newton, but then it fell off. 2013, go to the national championship, and Auburn kind of got back to where they're supposed to be. But Gus never evolved. It's funny now because Gus goes to UCF and he's a totally different cat. You know, he's chilling with a puka shell necklace, you know, hitting a vape out at practice. Old Gus Malzahn wouldn't even look in the eyes when you go by because he was too busy doing pepper shakers, drawing up plays that never changed. Like, just because you had a winning recipe for the stock market in 2006 doesn't mean that it's always going to work every year. That, like, in 2021, man, let's use that 2006 strategy. It's just...
Well, to use the stock analogy, the stock right now is Cade Klubnik. My bigger question is, like, where's that stock going to go? Like, what kind of step is he going to take? Because he's only, Dabo Swinney's only 2 quarterbacks removed from the 15-0 season he had with Trevor Lawrence.
Well, the run, and that wasn't, I mean, think about the run he had before that at quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, with Deshaun Watson, I mean, hell, you can go back all the way back to Taj Boyd. But when you look at where the game is now to when that was happening, it does feel like that separation with Clemson is getting a little bit bigger and bigger. And as far as Cade, again, I've been a Cade Klubnik defender. I think Cade Klubnik is a good player. I think Garrett Riley put him in a lot of bad situations in the red zone and in the green zone 10-0 last year. But to Blaine's point, you look around at Clemson's skill position. This is, we're saying the same thing this year that we said before last year. And that was when they had Will Shipley. Like, I'm just, What one skill player right now at the top of your head that's not Cade Klubnik can you name that plays at
Clemson? So maybe that speaks to they've fallen off in their traditional recruiting, not just the transfer.
I think it's a little bit everything.
When I look at that Georgia team, back-to-back championships with Kirby Smart, that team, I believe, would have won both those championships if they didn't take any transfer portal players.
I don't think that's crazy.
I don't know which one of those guys, I can't remember now, all of those NFL guys they sent off to the Eagles and maybe a couple other NFL teams, mostly the Eagles. I can't remember which of those guys were transfer portal guys. Like, they didn't, I'm sure they took a couple of them, but mostly they recruited really well and dominated everyone.
Yeah, and the scary part is, though, where did Georgia look at that even after those 2 years and say, man, we got to get better at this spot, wide receiver? Then who do they go get? Let's go get Dominic Lovett. One of the best wide receivers in the SEC. Like, let's go grab a couple guys to supplement the ship. We saw Nick Saban do this at DB, right? We lost a couple guys. We got some young guys we feel really good about. But, hey, why would I not go get two of the top DBs in the country to come play, right? So it's just, again, you're either evolving or dissolving. I truly believe in that. But I tell you what's never dissolving. That's on Wednesdays, David Cone dropping the
game. Yeah.
On the
lawn. Knowledge.
All right.
Someone's
knowledge,
on the lawn.
Education, friendship.
Energy, more passion.
Yeah,
more
passion, yeah.
Oh, your dad's so good, David. Your dad's so good.
Have a cigarette, maybe eat some chocolate.
Something
super David,
cool.
Something sweet and good. Every Wednesday, David, who's really an 83-year-old trapped in a 35-year-old? 36?
No, I'm 36. But
well, level 36. Level 36-year-old body.
Generous.
David, who's looking at you right in the eyes, holding hands, Gene off your L today?
WNBA players critical of Caitlin Clark's skin color need to get off my lawn.
White girl summer.
Caitlin Clark made her professional debut last night. She scored a game-high 20 points in front of a sold-out arena where the cheapest ticket was $105. For comparison, the least expensive seat for next week's game in Connecticut is $17. But instead of this being a celebratory moment for the league, Aja Wilson, the Las Vegas Aces defending champion, chalked up Clark's popularity to her race, stating, "It doesn't matter how hard I work. It doesn't matter what we all do as black women. We're still going to be swept underneath the rug." That coming from a professional athlete who makes $200,000 per year to play basketball for a living. She has two Olympic gold medals and a signature shoe deal with Nike. If that's getting swept under the rug, I need to start looking for a broom. The truth is, Caitlin Clark is the most prolific scorer in women's collegiate basketball history. And so far, she hasn't alienated any factions of the country by being controversial. That's a pretty good combination for marketability. I remember when most professional golfers in the 90s were white, until young Tiger Woods put the entire tour on notice. He didn't get any special treatment because of his skin color. He just dominated everyone in his path and left the haters behind. Similarly, most rappers in the 90s were black. But that didn't stop Eminem from coming for everyone's throats in a ruthless industry where only your talent can propel you. See, people just love to witness greatness. They want to say they were a part of it. They want to tell their friends about it. Now, if I'm wrong, and America only wants to watch the professional debut of a young girl who averaged 38 points per game just weeks ago in the NCAA tournament simply because she's white, then perhaps that's a consequence of demanding everyone base all life decisions on their identity. My advice to Aja Wilson, instead of crediting this young lady's popularity to race in a league where 60% of the players are black, you should thank Caitlin Clark, because without her, I wouldn't know who you are or be talking about your sport.
Get off my lawn. 100%.
She's mad.
You know, here's the thing. On its face, this just is, it's just good old-fashioned jealousy.
A little peanut butter with it?
It's a little peanut butter and jelly. You're jelly because you're not, this is why you see all these WNBA players come out and they're just jelly. This is the most woman thing ever. You never see this in men's sports. You never see this in men's sports. Which NFL player came out and was like, oh, Cooper DeJean just getting all this love because he's a white DB? No guy ever says that. This is the most woman thing ever. Like, just, it is. It really is. Y'all are gonna ruin the best chance y'all have to get noticed because you're just good old fashioned peanut butter and jelly. But, and I thought that was the sole reason, that could be the only reason. But then I really sat down and looked out the window last night. And I thought, you know what? Maybe it's deeper than that. Maybe the WNBA is playing 4D chess.
Are they?
What if? What is? People love a success story. They love a success story, right? But you know what gets even more views and more clicks?
Someone completely blowing it.
A villain. A villain does. You want to know why Tiger Woods, one of the reasons he was able to elevate golf as high as he did, wasn't just because everybody loved him, because half the people loved him and half the people hated him. And they didn't have to. You saw PGA Tour guys coming out being critical of Tiger Woods a little bit every now and then when he was making his way up through the ranks. I'm wondering if they didn't think, I tell you what does the WNBA not have? You have all these success stories. Oh, she came out of South Carolina. She's doing great. Oh, she came out of Tennessee. She's doing great. There's no villains in the WNBA. That's what makes a sport, truly. Tom Brady, if you're a Patriots fan, you loved him. Everybody else hated him. Nick Saban, if you're an Alabama fan, loved him. Everybody else hated him. The WNBA has nobody to hate. I think they're like, we need to sacrifice Caitlin Clark on the altar of we need a villain. Look, Harvey Dent was a cool character in The Dark Knight. You want to know when he became the coolest version of himself? When he became Two-Face. I'm just telling you, maybe this is a play. And maybe it's a genius play. But honestly, though, I think y'all are just joking.
Can she be a villain?
No.
Can Caitlin Clark be a villain?
I think if she wanted to, I think she could.
If she wanted to.
I think she could.
I don't think she will be or she is. I think she's creating other villains. I think she's a good guy. That's why I think she's... I mean, to be honest, and I don't think it's just women's sports. I think you do see this in a little bit of men's sports. I think of the NFL, the black quarterback thing, a little bit. I think that's somewhat in the same realm. Right?
Yeah, see, I don't think nearly the... I don't think you've gotten nearly the amount of players that have come out. Like, that'd be different. This would be like if Michael Vick was coming out, people saying, oh, he can't. Like, no, he just needs to be a wide receiver. Like, it's obvious that Michael Vick needed to play quarterback. Like, regardless of what color his skin, immutable characters just don't matter. Caitlin Clark is the coolest thing about women's basketball right now. WNBA or college. That's blatantly obvious. Like, her being white, I mean...
What if she came to the game in a MAGA hat? You want to talk about being the villain.
Dude.
What if she wore a MAGA hat?
No, it makes it worse.
She might.
Like, do you show up, like, she comes to the game in a MAGA hat and then drops a 40-piece on you.
Yeah.
And then leaves.
See,
like,
this
what
is
you,
why...
She would never.
What do you do after
it's,
that?
Again, it's almost in that same realm. This is what we were talking about with Billy Napier the other day. And, like, Billy Napier has to produce results. Like, the more that people hate on somebody for something they can't control, and I'm not saying Billy can't control it. Caitlin Clark can't control what race she is. We all know that. Anybody with a functioning brain knows that. But... like, the more they hate on her, the more her popularity is going to go up and up and up and up and up and up and up. I think you're seeing this politically right now.
Yeah.
The more they unfairly hate on somebody, and it's obvious, and we all know it's obvious, the more you can relate to that person. Like, they become more relatable. You start not feeling sorry for them.
Start believing.
You're not like, you
the
know
more
what?
People
I,
hate them.
Like,
more
I hope Caitlin
believing.
Clark scores 100 points. In the next
Asim Al-Ghalib.
I hope she's so much better than everybody else that has ever played in the WNBA. Not because she's white. Not because if she was black, she was black. Just because y'all are hating on this girl for no reason. She's done nothing wrong. Nothing wrong at all. She hasn't alienated anybody at all. And yet y'all still hate. Because you're jealous women. This is like the Desperate Housewives of the WNBA. That's just like why were you talking to Jerry the other day? This is the type vibes it gives me, and it's a bad look I think for everybody else. It's like it reinforces a stereotype about women. I think
Is she Lisan Al-Ghalib? How do you say it?
Base of the pillar.
Yeah.
Lisan Al-Ghalib.
Well, look. Regardless, male or female, the phone lines are open right now. We want to know what you think. 1-855-236-3228. But again, regardless of male or female, you want good skin. You want to take care of that skin.
Facts.
How do you take care of good skin, David? Which is the biggest organ in the body.
It puts
not
the lotion
people know
on
that.
It
puts the lotion on the skin. And with Genucel, all right, that's the lotion you need to put on your skin or the skincare you need to put on your skin. And as you know, it's their 25-year anniversary, right? That's a quarter of a century of doing things right, people. And right now, our listeners, they'll get an extra 25% off. They're already awesome prices, making this the biggest Genucel sale ever. Some could say it's a GenuSale, And if you haven't tried GenuSale, a great place to start is with their most popular package. It includes their Gen 90 Serum, which erases wrinkles around your eyes, forehead, and mouth. Hey, maybe you forgot to get something for Mother's Day. It's a great gift. Maybe you want some for Father's Day. It's a great gift. Skincare for men? Look, it's 2024. I want my skin to look good. Maybe you're trying to be loud and proud about it, but not in the way that sounded. It also includes their top-selling under-eye bags and puffiness serum. David Cohn's a big under-eye bags guy. I walk in, he's got one every morning. That's why his eyes look incredible.
Yep,
as well as their jawline treatment for more contoured, defined jawline. We all want to look like a superhero. So for a limited time, get an extra 25% off GenuSale's anniversary sale. The discount automatically applied at checkout. Once the sale is gone, it's gone. It's going gone. So order yours right now and get the GenuSale jawline treatment for more contoured, defined jawline. Visit GenuSale.com/booster. And oh, wait, to sweeten the deal even more, you'll receive a free spa box with 2 bonus gifts and free shipping. What else do you people possibly want? GenuSale.com/booster, because you got skin in the game. And that's a totally made-up slogan that they definitely need to use that I want 8% of the benefits.
From.
18%. 80%?
18's good.
18's good? What do you think, David? 18's good?
I wouldn't feel good taking a penny over 20%.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Over 20%? All right, I'll take 20% then. All right, we got the phone lines.
Overpromise and underdeliver.
That's exactly right. The phone lines are open, David. Tell me when you're ready to rock and roll. We'll get to the booster club quickly.
Let's go to CD. What's up, man? He says, I just really can't get into women's sports. Like, I only have a limited time in my life to devote to watching sports. I'd prefer to spend that limited time watching the best of the best.
Look, I'm not going to hate on you for that. I will say women's college softball at the highest level, I think, is the best women's sport out there. What we've gotten at the top shelf of women's college basketball has been the best that I've ever seen it. I watched Iowa play Iowa and South Carolina and LSU. I think there's more better teams now. But yeah, am I going to sit here and say you're wrong for being like, hey, man, look, I just really don't watch women's sports? Like, no. Like, I'm not, doesn't make you an evil person or a bad person. Men's sports are more entertaining. They just are when you look at it. Just like watching a NASCAR race is more entertaining than watching a boxcar race. It's just cars go faster.
Depends
right?
on the boxcar race.
Yeah, well, you know, there's that one event in Pennsylvania we don't talk about anymore. But at the end of the day, I don't think that makes you a bad person.
All right, let's go to Bert. Bert, what's up, brother? Says, isn't it funny how the Iowa coach immediately retired?
Immediately.
Yeah.
After Caitlin
immediately retired.
Graduated, I would have done it too.
Brilliant. Looter. I'd have retired the minute we lost the last game. I'd have just been like, all right, gals, we're not winning it with this chick. We winning it. All right, so Sarah, Bethany, Jocelyn, Terry.
Here's your new coach.
Mark. Yeah, I don't blame her.
All right, let's go to Joey. He says, Jake, should they start an actual Desperate Housewives of the WNBA?
Yes, it would be. That would be incredible. That would get more views than the WNBA finals would. I think it would. Or if they just had like a hate session on Caitlin, or like the real world, like you put 10 WNBA players in there and Caitlin Clark in like one house and just watch them slowly all gang up on her, and it would turn into 9-on-1. It 100% would. I would watch that. God, right. Did we just invent a great show?
There you go.
Again?
Let's go to Max. He wants to know, is Caitlin Clark going to be the best to ever do it?
I think she has a chance.
I think she has a chance, too, because she's not just a shooter. That's the thing. She's just as good of a passer. Now, she had 10 turnovers.
Could she be the
night.
Steph Curry?
But
could she eventually be the Steph Curry of
something like that would be like the trajectory to me for her career.
That's the archetype. Mm-hmm. That's what I think.
All right, y'all ready for calls?
Let's do it.
We got Pongo Alert. Pongo, Red 7.
Get set.
Please just stand on the other side. Okay, we got Kirk on the line in Canada.
Oh,
Kirky.
Kirk, what's up?
Kirk.
You in the bathroom?
Yeah, he is.
To the bathroom.
Kirk. Yeah, hey, Kirk, you in that bathroom?
Yes, sir, I am.
I love it. Hey, is it going to be easier for you at 2? What time is 2 p.m. in Canada? Is it like midnight?
2 p.m. there is 4 p.m. here.
Oh, good. That should be even better. You may not have to, you know, hide in the bathroom.
Kirk, do you think I could win a fist fight against a polar bear?
No chance. Not a chance.
Not a single sliver.
No. No.
Not a chance.
You don't think if I caught him or...
No. No.
Caught him early.
A polar bear would rip you to shreds.
I don't know. It's up for...
You know how pissed those things are?
Grizzly bear. The polar bear makes a grizzly bear look like a fawn.
I heard he just drinks Cokes with all of his.
Yeah, that's exactly what I want to see. I want to be out. I want to be out in the frozen tundra and see a big ass polar bear skating up to rip me to shreds.
Like Coca-Cola
and his nephews.
Yeah, while drinking a Coke.
So we've got to talk a little hockey here, boys. You remember last year, Boston Bruins, best regular season, get bounced in the first round.
Yep.
For those of your listeners that don't watch a lot of hockey, that doesn't necessarily mean that the President's Trophy winner can't do it. Because look at these Rangers, like they are unreal.
Here's the thing, though: did they blow their opportunity? I know they're going to get a Game 7 at home, right? If they don't handle business on the road, and it seems like the NHL, the road team's been handling business here lately. But did they have their chance to kill the Canes, and they just didn't do it?
Well, we'll have to see. They're going to come out. They've only lost, I think, two games in the whole postseason. So,
could New York have back-to-back game sevens in the NBA and NHL?
They could.
Let's see. It would be.
You want to talk about a different fan base?
Yeah.
You want to put up something funny? Put up the Rangers and the Knicks fan base together. Let's all laugh.
I want to see that. I want to Where's Waldo
laugh
that thing.
Together.
So the game seven. Game 7 of the Rangers-Hurricanes would happen Saturday night if needed.
And then Game 7 of the Knicks-Pacers would be Sunday?
Would be...
Because they'll play... could they both be on Saturday at home?
Yesterday.
Game 6 would be Friday.
Okay, so it'd be Sunday.
Game 7 would be Sunday.
So you'd have Saturday... That'd be...
In the Garden?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Wow.
Before I let you go, shout out to the family of the late, great Bob Cole. Bob Cole was the best hockey announcer that's ever lived, and there's no debate there.
He's the Vin Scully of hockey?
Yeah, absolutely. Gotcha. If you guys get a minute, go to YouTube, type in Bob Cole, greatest calls, and just drink it in. He was, man, he's going to be missed. He was something else.
Well,
so, yeah.
Thanks for that antidote, Kirk. We appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Kirk.
No problem.
Hey, be careful. Right, hey, be careful. Take care of your heart.
Hey, Kirk, that merch is in motion, brother. It should be getting to you.
Should be getting to you in a couple years.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Got you, Kirky.
See you, bud.
All right, bud.
All right, let's go to Daryl in New Hampshire. We just have the whole, Northeast quad.
Daryl!
Got it locked today. Up.
Daryl, what's up?
Eastern time, baby.
Hi, boys. Speaking of Kurt, my heart's pitter-pattering because I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener.
Hey, we appreciate
Welcome
it.
Home. Welcome home, Daryl.
Hey, you excited about the time slot change?
No, that's what I'm calling. I have a get-off-my-lawn for you guys. So I'm really peed right now.
Uh-oh. No. Get it, Daryl.
I'm at work right now.
Yeah.
And I listen to Credit Company every day, every morning.
That a boy.
For years now.
That a boy.
And you guys, this time change, I know it's the first time I'm calling, so maybe... You have some sort of argument, but I really am not happy. I listen to Crane Company, then I listen to Michael Knowles, sometimes Ben Shapiro, but what am I going to do for the morning?
Here's time? What.
I watch Good Morning Football or something?
No, don't watch that.
Dude.
Here's what you do. I've had a couple people ask me this. Most people, it's going to give them the chance to watch live, because again, especially if you're on a certain side of the country, I mean, watching live right now is you just went to sleep. Here's what I would do. I would either do it one of two ways, Daryl. A, I would say, all right, I will listen to the show we're doing it to the next morning, just to supplement that for it, because no games have been played yet, obviously. Or B, what I would do is wait until that time and then listen to it on the ride home, okay, so you can make sure you get your bets in before. I think those are the two options. But in aggregate, Daryl, as somebody who... I'm guessing you're rooting on the show to continue to do well. This is the best thing for us. I can promise you that. And as a businessman, I'm sure you understand that.
I think that explanation is mid.
You know what? He's getting all the segments.
And Daryl, I accept that.
Called him before.
Yeah, I accept that, and I'll internalize that.
I'm the biggest fan of Crane Company. I got my Sheelix jersey.
That a boy.
But I hate the time change.
Well,
all right, Daryl, we're going to meet. Okay. We're going to meet about
Daryl, please call in and complain every single day because you know we'll pick it up and have a good time either way.
Daryl, I want you to know Cranny Company loves you.
I have a handwritten letter in the mail to Jeremy Boring right now.
Look, good, send it.
Send it.
I'll send mine too.
Well, Blaine actually wrote a handwritten letter to you that he's about
to send. Yeah, it's in crayon.
Mail. Yeah.
Yeah, Blaine, get Kirk his merch, please.
I'm getting Kirk his merch.
Daryl, we're gonna have to lay out terms like to get this done in a certain.
I don't know,
Daryl. I have to say, you made the Get Off My Lawn movement proud today, brother.
You did, my friend.
Thank you.
Hey, we appreciate you, buddy.
See you, brother.
Go Bruins.
Hey, look, let's go.
Go Bruins.
I need the Celtics, Daryl. Please, let's all hope together.
All right, let's go to Josh in North Carolina. Josh, what's up?
Oh, God. Here we go.
Oh, hey, perfect timing. Somebody calling to complain about the time change, and, you know, I was going to do the same thing.
Josh, you're on Eastern time.
So now you don't have to,
Josh.
It's kind of funny because I get it. If I can't win an argument about LeBron being the greatest player of all time, and then if Jake, he has to defend, you know, the Carolina Gaiman's choir and Ryan the Hot Guy. I mean, I get it. You have to change the time zone. So callers like me and Kingpin can't just call in and just harass y'all anymore.
Kingpin, I love how that really is named
behind that.
Well, Josh, here's what I think you're doing. I think you're saying this because we're speaking of the villain. Like, you've slowly become one of the people that Batman looks at on his wall in Gotham. It's like, keep an eye on this.
Stay out of Gotham. Stay out of Gotham, Josh. Stay out of Gotham, Voltar.
No, I think you're saying this. And then Monday at about 2:50, we're going to get a call from Josh from North Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
Fine. Kirk's over there just Dr. Stranging it in the bathroom right now. Finding a way to come.
Dr. Stranging it in the bathroom.
I didn't say the stranger.
It's
a verb now,
You're
Blaine.
Talking about getting Dr. Stranged in the bathroom.
Didn't you know it's a verb now?
God, dude.
You haven't ever Dr. Stranged? Taking a number four?
Yeah, no, I get it.
I wish I can do what Kirk does, but like my job truthfully starts getting busy right around 3 o'clock and my boss hates whenever we take lunch past like 2:30. So I can't find a way to do it. So I mean,
Josh, you can find a way.
Josh, so you're telling me I need to call in a bomb threat at 1:45.
Yeah, yeah. Let Tennessee lose that opener.
Josh will find a way. He'll sound like the girl from Taken under the bed. I think they just came in.
Yeah. All right, tell me everything you see. It's my boss with the clipboard. It's Roddy. He's gone. Save me.
You're like the Joker, man. You need Batman.
You need him.
Kill you.
We're your Batman.
I don't want to kill you.
We're your Batman.
I love you.
I had a question real quick before I go. I know it's been brought up a few times, but the Carolina Hurricanes game 7, it's funny because my girlfriend's family, my girlfriend's dad, and she is also like a Red Wings fan. So for like, they've been dealing with like the worst side of things hockey wise. And so they've been just enjoying watching, you know, the Canes, because their team's not in it. But I was going to ask, I mean, they're giving me too much hope right now. Do you think there's a possibility they win tomorrow, force the game 7, and potentially, you know, kick the Rangers out of the playoffs?
Yeah, well, you know, the last time I said the series was going game 7, I got, you know, some people in the chat tried to make fun of me. And,
stupid idiot.
Yeah, let this go 7. I'm gonna be talking my ish, number one, Josh. Here's the thing. Here's what I've learned about the NHL. Here's what I've learned. All right, and I think this is some great advice on what's going to happen. I've got no idea what is going to happen in the NHL. I've got no idea. Absolutely no clue. I thought the Bruins had no chance last night. No chance. Panthers at home, handling business. I've got no idea. It is purely a guess. At this point, I'm just looking at the overunders. So, Josh, do they have a chance? Yeah. Yeah. Do they not have a chance? Yeah. Because I don't know. I can tell you probably to an umpteenth degree what's going to happen during football season with a really good small miss rate. When it comes to this stuff,
right.
I just don't know anymore. I'm starting to think it's fixed.
Yeah. I get it. I mean, I talked to my girlfriend's dad about it because he's been watching for like decades, and he's told me every playoffs this always happens where, like, it's never the favorite to win the cup that wins the cup. And then also, like, these teams that are like, oh, yeah, they should win the series in, like, five. They'll go six or seven because of just lucky bounces.
It just
always pads or lucky bounces off the wall. Like, it's just truly chaotic. And
I am not betting anybody money line in an NHL game for the rest of the Stanley
Don't
Cup
do
playoffs.
It.
I'm just taking over and unders.
I'll let you know next.
So what
let's
you tell
just
me,
root
you're
for goals.
Canes are going to win it all,
Canes
Josh.
Canes money line.
Canes are
going to
win it all.
Seven.
There you go.
I think he goes to seven.
Oh,
like I said, but I've been saying that.
Right, thanks for calling in, Voltar.
Thanks, Josh. Hey, we'll talk to
you
Monday.
See you next week, buddy.
Yeah, see you Monday.
Talk to you next week. All right, let's go to Brian in Boston.
I'll tell you what, the Northeast, crab cakes and football.
Yeah.
What's going on, guys? See, I was initially upset about the time change because it's going to cut into my ability to call. But looking at it in a good way, now that transfer portal is open at the Daily Wire, and maybe the Kirk and Brian hockey hour is a 4-year-old.
The Kirk and Brian hockey. Just the way you said that sounded amazing.
We would have a lot to talk about.
There, I love it. Keep going.
Exactly. Working on it. So I'm pretty fired up. I was rattled last night. I called in and couldn't get on yesterday, and it was going to be all doom and gloom leading up to that game.
Mm.
But after last night, I'm just worried that I'm going to feel like Charlie Brown and Lucy's going to be pulling that ball out Friday
They just
night
that's what me. That's what the beauty of sports. Right when you think you're out, they just pull you right back in. And if you're anything like the team I root for, they kick you right back out right when they pull you back in. So we'll see. We'll see. But you had to win that. Now, look, again, at the end of the day, you handle business on the road. Now you got to go at home where it seems that nobody can win when they're supposed
to win. Are
you
going to game six, Brian?
You got an extra $500 for me?
I do not.
Actually, that's David like, does. He does have an extra $500
for
you.
Apiece.
Man. I love
know.
That, though.
I don't know. Maybe well, if I can work my magic, we'll see. I will definitely tweet it out there at Jake if I get in the building.
Hey, Brian, Celtics going to cover tonight, 14.5?
Oh, of course.
God,
you
I
know,
love it.
You
That's
know
what
the routine.
I
you've nailed it with them all playoffs. Great
yes.
game one, fall apart
game two, bet against.
And then dominate the rest of the
yeah.
series.
I may put the rent on whoever they play next on game two at home.
You know that I'm not as big into the hoops as the pucks, but I know you were talking about Porzingis earlier.
Yeah,
it's a smoke screen. I don't think he's coming back at all.
Really?
If that's the case, then what in God's name are y'all going to do with Jokic? Put Al Horford on him? Put what Cornette on him and watch him laugh at you
and show
you the way science and evolution works?
Not happening. We'll see if he's having fun or not, but he'll probably win.
Well, Brian.
All right, Brian. Nomar Garciaparra.
No, say it before you go.
That a boy. Nomar Garciaparra, baby.
Garciaparra.
I just want to hang out with Mark Wahlberg.
Go Bees.
And, like, go to pubs.
I want you guys pulling for the Bees Friday night. Let's go, baby.
Let's do it. I may take a money line. I may take a money line, Brian, because I'm a sick bastard.
All right, Brian. Thanks, buddy. All right, Will in New Jersey.
Here we go.
Look, the whole Northeast.
All right, Will.
Like a blanket today. Will, what's up?
Oh, yeah. Let's all talk about how great Boston is. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, whatever. So I got a question. So obviously I am from New Jersey, and I'm having a little identity crisis here. All of my family are Rangers fans, and I am a Devils fan because I'm true to my state. I only got one team that actually by name plays here. Is it okay to root for the Rangers because the rest of my family is rooting for the Rangers, or is it not okay? I don't want to be a traitor. I don't know how to feel.
Yeah, the Devils are out.
Here's the way that I would, yes, New Jersey's out. So here's what I would ask myself, if I was you, Will. What makes it easier for me to live my life in this situation? Mm-hmm. And I would probably guess rooting for the Rangers, even if deep down you don't care, right? And I'm not saying be fake. What I'm saying is be smart, okay? Like, I would err on the side of, hey, man, Let's make Thanksgiving fun again. I don't want to cause any problems. I'll root it for you. I just don't want anybody looking back after a couple of libations, a couple of drinks. Like, man, I love everybody that's sitting at this table, but Will, man, I really wish you wouldn't have been such a douche and you'd have rooted for the Rangers. Like, why even put yourself in that
position?
You can't
do it. You can't do it.
You don't think so?
You can't do it. You can't root for it. They're rivals, right?
Are they rivals? Are they arch rivals?
Basically rivals, right?
Yeah.
Biggest rivals? LSU Arkansas rivals?
I mean, or is it just rival in a way that they play in the same league?
I think it's top two.
Will, who do you hate the most, Will? As a Devils fan, who do you hate the most?
The Flyers.
Okay.
Flyers.
You go. There's your answer. You're good.
You have two choices. When your team's knocked out in any tournament, you have two choices. You can either root for that next favorite team that you have, in this case, you know, your family pulls for them, they're close geographically, all that, or you just go full villain mode, like he was talking about with Two-Face, and you just root against them. You either need a team to root for or root against. I don't know who the Rangers is to you for that. I mean, do you want to double down and just root against a team, and now that's the team you hate most?
Well, I mean, honestly, the two teams I hate the most are the Flyers and the Penguins.
Your decision's made.
Yeah, it's different in my household where Auburn and Alabama hate each other and they're their biggest rivals.
Yeah.
So, like, if Alabama's playing Ole Miss, my wife knows I'm not rooting for Alabama to beat Ole Miss. I'm rooting for my bets to hit number one. And number two, I hope Ole Miss pulls it out, especially if I bet on them. But again, if Ole Miss is playing Arkansas, I'm not going to go out of my way to be like, hey, man, screw Ole Miss, man.
Well, I guess it matters, like, the importance of the game. Like, because, like, if it's Georgia in the semifinals playing whoever, I'm not rooting for Georgia. If my whole opposite family's rooting
for Georgia. What if they're playing Bama?
Well, that's the number one rival. Yeah, I root against Bama always.
Oh, okay. So, that's not even this scenario. Well,
here's where things get interesting, though. Let's say Will pulls for the Rangers here to win the Stanley Cup, and they do so. And then his family starts giving him crap because the Rangers were so much better than the Devils. Now, next season, I can't pull for you anymore.
Well, here's the thing. Now I've got a built-in excuse for why I don't have to pull for you guys anymore going forward because you did it. What does Tony Perkins say? It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
What?
It's their fault. You have made the mistakes, and you will pay the price.
Like some of the things that got said during the Alabama-Michigan Rose Bowl from the in-laws.
Oh, yeah.
You know, You remember, we don't forget. You remember watching your boy walk into the lion's den talking when I got there.
This guy had my back the whole game.
Yeah, I was Jon Snow.
What makes you hate the Penguins more than the Rangers?
Because they're terrible.
Sidney Crosby's face.
Oh, well, that's all you needed to say.
Okay. Oh, I thought you said the Flyers.
Yeah, it's like a boy on
everyone hates
the Flyers. On Step Brothers.
Oh, appreciate it, Will.
Your face. I just want to punch it.
I won't take the Pacers again. I promise you, Will.
Yeah, thank
Great
you, Will.
Great call, man.
No, see, bud.
No, take the Pacers again. Go on.
Okay. Hey, I'm for sale. All right, my pick's for sale. All right, let's go to Timothy in Green Bay. Timothy, what's up?
What's up, guys? I am the villain, though. Carolina's not going to seven. You bum.
Okay, okay. Well, here's the thing, Timothy. What happens when they do, though? What happens when they do?
Hey,
I need a call in.
Broken clock is right twice a day.
Well, guess what? If they don't, I think I would give Timothy his flowers. I don't think Timothy would give me my flowers. I don't think so.
I would. I'm just tired of David hate, man. David ain't the curse, man.
Oh,
how am I the curse?
Tennessee and Auburn weren't winning before I picked.
I'm just so glad I'm not even in this conversation. It's so
like, how am I the curse, Timothy? When I said this going to go seven, when it goes seven, that kills your whole curse theory.
Nope, because SEC sucked and Wisconsin lost.
The SEC sucked? Got a team in the Final Four. I'm guessing he's talking about the basketball.
Hey, you got that 11 a.m. kick against Alabama coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was going to call about.
Wisconsin sucked before I said anything.
It doesn't matter if it's 11 a.m. or 9 p.m. Wisconsin's winning. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
I can't wait.
Timothy, deep down, in places that I do want to talk about, I hope you're right.
September 14th.
But if I was a Wisconsin fan, I'd be pissed that game's at 11. I'd be pissed that game.
A little nighttime game.
Like, it needs to be. They need to be jumping around at night. Yeah. It's early in the year, so it's not going to be nearly as cold as it is later in the year. It just, like, Man, again, Georgia Clemson at noon, I want to save it for a show open. Y'all know how I feel about these early games. When I go to a restaurant, I don't want the appetizer after the entree. That's called dessert, dog. Like, we got this all screwed up. We got it all screwed up.
When Wisconsin plays Bama next year, if it's at night, I'm going to be livid.
Oh, no, it will be. Oh, it will be. Y'all will play Bama at 9:30 at night. They'll do a test on when the people in Tuscaloosa are the drunkest / loudest decibel level. Y'all's ass may play at 8:14 p.m., like Central. I'm telling you.
You want to talk about becoming best friends quick? Let Wisconsin beat Alabama.
Yeah, let Luke Fickell
please
find his way out of that pickle.
Please.
Appreciate it, Timothy.
There. All right, Thanks, Timothy. Let's go seven. Let's
great call-ins
next
today.
Week on Monday.
Yeah, great job. Call-ins from all over the globe. Before we do this, do we have the clip of the picture of the SEC
logo? Yes, SEC Pull this on up. ABC.
Pull this up. Okay.
There it is.
Ew! Here's where I'm at on this. Am I excited about college football coming up? Yes, I really don't care that much about graphic quality, but there was a changing of the guard here, and you only get one chance to make a first impression. The SEC is going from CBS, which I'm glad I don't have to listen to Gary Danielson anymore. All right, listen to him suck off Alabama and Purdue as much as humanly possible throughout one broadcast. But this logo, it looks like they did a contest at a kindergarten, and this is who won.
You think so?
This is so bad.
What's wrong with it?
At its very best,
it's lazy to me.
What's wrong with it?
And what's right with it? This looks like a bad European soccer league.
It felt like someone spent no time.
No time. It's like they forgot.
Threw it together.
We all have been there when, oh my God, we have a project due the next day in eighth grade. I've got to somehow put together something that I can just turn in. At this point, I just got to turn it in.
I mean, Dizzy.
This is what that Dizzy's looks
too
like.
Busy making divert lesbians. Yeah. And little Red Riding.
Yeah, they're turning the little mermaid and little mermaid into a gay.
Just because
Native American paraplegic.
Going to ABC and it's different now.
No.
Is that where this is
different? Going? Like what? The, what? You know what this says
no,
to me?
It's not.
Hey! You know what this says to me? The SEC on ABC. Hey, this kind of sucks now.
Does this strike you as more of an ACC sort of logo?
This has got Pac-12 written all over it. Which, by the way,
Did
y'all see the Pac-12 schedule that released? It's every game of Oregon State and Washington State.
They put the Pac-12
and y'all still said 12.
And they put an exclamation mark at the end.
Yeah.
That's how you know you're trying to sell me real hard.
And listen, at first I was like, why did it say Pac-12? Then I realized it was 12 games. Like, total of 12 games. Maybe that's the way they're framing it. Because it's only two teams. This has got, it's got little kids. Y'all should have just went full in and made it like started mocking it.
Yeah.
Like.
Maybe just, they did.
Maybe they
maybe
did.
That, maybe
well,
that's
I don't
what that
know.
Was.
Maybe they started working for the SEC on ABC. God, that thing sucks. Looks like what RoboCop wears on his cup. All right. Here's what I got. Not that I've seen that.
I don't know.
Why are you looking at RoboCop's crotch, man?
I've watched like 15 minutes. I thought you said cup.
I did say cup.
Oh, not like a, like.
No.
Oh, like cup.
What's going on?
Yeah.
It protects his robo.
His robo wiener.
Robo wiener. It protects my safe space. All right. Here's what we got tonight. It's only Wednesday, guys. The Celtics. -14.5
We still here.
Tonight. This is murder the Cavs. Let's get it out of the way. No Donovan Mitchell. We don't need squad ride. From the Cavs. We need Celtics -14.5. That's a -110. And I told you, I'm not taking any more NHL moneyline bets. All right? Y'all can kiss my ass.
Did you take an NHL moneyline yesterday?
No, I'm not doing it anymore. It was a personal. Okay. Give me the Rangers, Panthers. Or excuse me. Got to sing the Carolina Panthers. The Rangers, Canes, over 5.5. That's it. +100. Bow to your sensei. David.
Out of your sensei.
Give me the Thunder -4 points. -110. You got that?
Four.
And then I want the Pirates, Brewers, Nerfy, no runs, first inning, -1.
I think everybody went 1-1 yesterday. I think everyone went 1-1 yesterday.
Go ahead. I love it. All right. Give me Royals, Mariners, Nerfy, -120. Marlins, Tigers, Nerfy, -113.
All right, Ace, what you got? Throw it up there. Stars, money line. Good luck. Then the Padres, Rockies, Nerfy. That's at -145. Brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline, where the options are endless. And so is the fun. Yep. All right, Booster Club.
All right, quickly get to some donations here. $5 donation from F3 Shake and Bake. Sound like Jake wants another museum in Paris to prance through. Hashtag he's a spy. Hashtag America first.
How, F3, you somehow put those two things together. I'm not even upset. I'm borderline impressed.
$2 donation from Colson Duggins. He says, meh, Citizen Kane is super overrated anyways.
You're overrated.
Listen, I'm not.
Hey, you don't say that.
I'm not going to go watch it. I'd rather watch literally anything else. I'd rather watch Spy Kids 3.
Look, the Spy Kids movie back in the day were good.
No, yeah, with that gingerhead.
Like those thumbs freak me out to this day.
Yeah, this first Spy Kids movie went hard. If you know, you know.
$2 donation from a heartbroken hog. What if Caitlin Clark goes Bill Russell and wins 8 straight?
I would love that. I would love that. That'd be great. I want that to happen, though. Like, I really do. I want that to happen. I want her to be the greatest women's basketball player ever. Just to the point where nobody, like, there's no.
It's not even close.
It's not even close. I want her to be like the Michael Jordan of.
Well,
of
that's I mean, that's a close conversation.
Okay.
Thor, it's not even close.
All right. $5 donation from Ryan Gade. Aaron Nola was completely shoving yesterday and was sizzling hot, even hotter than that guy Jake loves to ride.
It'll never stop.
No, it's forever.
It's really never going to stop.
That's what the great thing. Like, it's like, it's really never going to stop. Is like, it's
forever. I'm interested to see when we go to 2 p.m.
Oh, it'll travel.
I know it'll travel.
It's your defense travel.
I know it'll travel, but like, there'll be so many new donos too from new people that are able to catch the show live. I just wonder how many of them are going to involve something. It's crazy, as the guy that's married to a beautiful and definitely female woman.
I'm going to ride the hot guy.
That's out of context. David, you said something the other day. You said something the other day. You were like, oh, man.
I forgot we had that. We should play that every 5 minutes on the show just so I can
laugh. Yeah, good. Just subliminally brainwash people into thinking, yeah, that's great.
This is great. This is all that comes from this. All right, Paul, everyone donated it. Thank you all so much. Is Dabo in trouble at Clemson?
Yes. Yes, 72%.
No, 90%.
Jesus, David.
This is the year.
Yes, 63%.
Mm,
no.
Boy.
37.
Well, he'll be the next coach of Alabama, I guess, then.
Yeah. All right, guys. Got a great show for you tomorrow. Shout out to our sponsors for today, BetOnline. Go check out ResponsibleMan.com. Grab some of that while that sale's still going on. And Genucel Skincare, that 25th anniversary deal. Just a Genucel. All right. Remember that with an L-E. We appreciate you guys. Thanks, everyone that donated. Everybody that called, remember, next Monday, 2 p.m. Central, the new show start time. We're really, really excited. I know Daryl listening up there in the Northeast right now. Are you at work? You'll find a way because you're a champion. And the Booster Club, like good defense, always travels. And like the chances of us having any clue what's going to go on in the Stanley Cup playoffs, we're going. Oh, gone. Did you see that one?
Yep.
It hammocked on me.
Yep.